It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Less than 40 days until the 2016 general election. Of course, we deal with politics often on this program, and we invite candidates to share their views. Back in August, you may remember, we spoke on this program with former Lieutenant Governor Patty Judge, the Democratic Party's nominee to unseat six-term Senator Charles Grassley. Next week on this program, we'll hear from Libertarian candidate Charles Aldrich. And today we're hearing from Senator Charles Grassley himself. He joins us live. Iowa's senior senator has been serving Iowa in the upper house of Congress since 1981. Senator Charles Grassley, welcome back to the program. Let's get right to some news from yesterday. Congress overwhelmingly rejecting President Obama's veto of legislation allowing relatives of the victims of 9/11, the attacks on 9/11, to sue Saudi Arabia, the first override of this presidency about 4 months before the end of Obama's second term. I wonder if you'd explain your position on this vote, specifically the concerns that this could seriously hurt U.S. national security interests, possibly make the U.S. vulnerable in other courts around the world.
It will not make us vulnerable in other courts around the world because it explicitly prohibits lawsuits arising from acts of war. That was one of the issues that was brought up. So claims that the law would lead to lawsuits against soldiers and diplomats is very misplaced. Without this legislation, courts would block terrorism-related claims that Congress intended to permit. And it simply enables families of 9/11 victims to pursue justice against those who sponsor acts of terrorism. And it's got to be on U.S. soil. And it does it by preventing them from invoking what lawyers would call sovereign immunity in cases involving attacks on U.S. soil. So it will not in any way allow individuals to be sued. It's only when it involves the Saudi Arabian government.
Join our conversation, Senator Charles Grassley, with us live, 1-866-780-9100. You can email us rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Tweet us at IPR Talk or 1-866-780-9100. Just less than 20 minutes to spend with Senator Grassley, but we'll try to get in as many listener questions and comments as possible. Senator, this was emailed to us from Greg in Waterloo. It gets to the heart of what I'm hearing from many Iowans in this very divisive campaign season, and I'll just read this to you from Greg in Waterloo. I voted for you in the past and enjoyed the Harkin-Grassley exchanges in the Senate. I understand and accept your desire for a conservative Supreme Court. That is your choice. Are you ready to take responsibility, Greg writes, for your connection to a candidate that espouses xenophobic, racist, misogynist, and birther ideas? Even though I have disagreed with you, I have respected your conservative views. He goes on, if you do not embrace the same views as Donald Trump, then you need to say it and tell the people you cannot vote for this man. What do you say to Greg from Waterloo?
Well, in regard to the court decisions, remember it's a two-step process. A president nominates. The president can nominate whoever he wants to. The Senate confirms. It's a two-step process. And I will make my decision on who's put on the court when the president makes a nomination, whether it's a Democrat president or a Republican president. But it's as simple as what I said. A president nominates. The Senate confirms. It's a two-step operation. There's no obligation to go beyond what we think ought to be done.
Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton has now said that if elected, she would look widely for candidates rather than to commit to Merrick Garland. I wonder if this would put you in the position to perhaps then hold hearings for Merrick Garland in the lame duck session after the election, if she should be elected and be president-elect.
No, we're very clear that we follow the precedent set by several people before we made this decision. You can go back to the Lyndon Baines Johnson nomination when senators said in the last year of that presidency that the new president should make the decision. So Nixon filled that position. We have the statements by then Senator Biden, Senator from New York made those statements as well, that we ought to, Senator Reid and Senator Schumer made similar decisions that in the last year of a presidency, you should let the new president make the decision. And that's kind of where we are, because you can't have one rule when you have a Republican president, another rule when you have a Democrat president. So we decided that who's ever elected in November would make that decision after January 20th, 2017.
Mm-hmm. Back to Greg in Waterloo to make sure he gets an answer to the question he had. He said, if you do not embrace the same views as Trump, then you need to say it. Do you embrace the same views as Donald Trump?
Well, I think it's as simple as this, that sometimes you agree with any president, sometimes you disagree with any president. And it's the same way with Donald Trump.
In large part, you agree with his values, his character, his vision for the country?
What I look at specific issues, but it really doesn't matter to me what a president thinks. He's head of the executive branch. I'm a member of the legislative branch. We have separate constitutional powers, and I will exercise my powers and my judgment within the powers that the Constitution gives me. When I agree with the president, I agree with the president, and when I don't agree with the president, then you have disagreement. Pretty simple under the Constitution.
You said it doesn't really matter what the president thinks?
From the standpoint of my role as a legislator, I'm a member of an independent branch of government.
But you support Donald Trump, so
yeah,
you must support his thinking, right?
This is basic government. We have a tripartite system of government. I have my jobs to do, and whether you have a Republican president or a Democrat president, sometimes you agree with them and sometimes you don't agree with them. And maybe in a lot of instances, my disagreements have maybe been sometimes greater with certain Republican presidents, let's say like Reagan, on how much money ought to be spent on defense during the 1980s, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Just one example. I led the battle to freeze the defense budget in the 1980s when we had a Republican president, when there was just a minority of Republicans in the United States Senate that felt the same way I did, but we had a majority of the Senate.
I wonder, you and all other Republican members of Congress from Iowa have been steadfast in your support of Donald Trump. Do you think the fact that Iowa's Republican leaders are all endorsing Trump is one of the reasons that he is doing relatively well here in Iowa, according to polls, even leading Hillary Clinton in many of the polls?
I had this discussion this morning with some people, and it's kind of an anomaly from our point of view when you figure that we Republicans have only carried Iowa 2004 in the last five or six presidential elections, and it's really difficult for me to explain. And I'm not sure that I get an explanation from people that bring it up. And you obviously asked the question because you would like to know, and I'd like to figure it out too. But I guess from the standpoint of not agreeing with Hillary Clinton on very many things, that I'm glad that we might have a chance of having a Republican president.
I guess to simplify the question, which I think you've hit the nail on the head there, is do you think your support has helped Donald Trump in the polls here in Iowa?
No, I don't.
You don't? Why would you endorse or support a candidate if you don't think he's helped in polls?
No, you're the two questions you're asking me have no connection.
Explain that.
Well, explain it. You asked me what I thought about his standing in Iowa.
And if the endorsement of all the Republican members of Congress had anything to do with his relatively good showing in the polls currently.
I'm not sure that all the members of Congress have endorsed him.
Iowa Congress members who are in the Republican Party haven't they?
I don't know for sure.
Okay. Let's talk about some of the other issues that we've seen in the news, if we could. We have about 10 minutes left here. I wonder if you could comment about, yes, the EpiPen controversy. You wrote to the maker of the EpiPen, Mylan, with questions about the product's price increases after hearing concerns from Iowans. You said you felt unsatisfied with the response you received. It didn't answer all your questions. Tell us, what is the best way to curb the rising price of pharmaceutical costs?
Well, first of all, you've got to look at EpiPen, that they have a monopoly, and they shouldn't have a monopoly. And if they didn't have a monopoly, I'll bet the price wouldn't be as high as it is. And so one of my letters was to the FDA about any alternatives that are in the pipeline to come up compete with Mylan and their product, and I think that that would go a long ways. And I believe that we need to make sure that the price is legitimate, and I don't see the price going up in 7-year period of time by 400 and some percent as legitimate, particularly when the basic product within EpiPen has been around since 1901, and that we need to raise these questions legitimate. And they've already responded not in a very adequate way, because they should just reduce the price. But the fact that they're bringing online another product less expensive to compete with it almost within 2 weeks after we raise the question, the fact that they give a $300 rebate to certain people understand that it's very difficult for them, I think, as well. And I think the best thing to do is to get FDA moving on additional competitive product. I think that's the way to reduce the price. Without a doubt, I think that they have taken advantage, a very serious advantage, of a product that's badly needed for people that have allergies to peanuts and nuts.
Mm-hmm. U.S. Senator Charles Grassley joining us live. We have a little less than 10 minutes left. Let's try to get in as many listener calls, emails. Caleb is joining us from Ankeny. Hi, Caleb. We're short of time, but please, let's hear your question for Senator Grassley.
I got a question for you. Do you support the Bakken pipeline? And if so, do you support eminent domain abuse of people that pay taxes on their land and then corporations come in and just abuse their land? Do you support that?
Well, you're talking about something. If you ask me about the pipeline carrying oil from Canada down to the Oklahoma, I voted for that because that comes within the realm of the Congress of the United States to make that decision, because it costs the national border. The pipeline you're asking me about doesn't cross the national border, and it's within the jurisdiction of the four states to make that decision. So I'm not involved in that decision, and I guess that when I know the importance of pipelines to deliver, if you see a map of pipelines in the United, in Iowa, there, or the entire United States, they're all over the map for a particular state. In fact, I have a pipeline going across my farm as just one example, you wonder the controversy of it. But I think if I had a farmer digging up my farmland, I'd be very concerned about it as well. But as long as state law is followed, and it's entirely a state decision, unlike the pipeline from Canada down, carrying oil from Canada down to the into the United States, that's a federal issue. What you're talking about is a state issue, and I find it pretty difficult for me sitting in Washington to question decisions by the leaders of four different states to go ahead with it.
Senator Grassley, on an ag-related question that I also put to Patty Judge, I'd like to have you address water quality. U.S. Secretary of Agriculture, also former Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack, has urged Iowa lawmakers to act on water quality, saying that lawmakers should, in his words, lock the door and not come out until they've got a plan. How should lawmakers act to improve water quality in Iowa, across the nation? Should the state or federal government regulate to solve the problem?
Well, the federal government already regulates the problem.
But down to a certain extent, not down to these smaller streams that feed into our lakes and rivers, right?
Well, the extent to which the water quality is regulated, the head of EPA at the federal level was at the state fair 3 years ago, and she made a statement that the plan that Iowa had in place I don't know whether she said it would work or that it was plausible or what she said, but is very approving of it. And so Iowa moves ahead. If at any time Iowa violates federal law, the national federal EPA can step in.
Yesterday, after nearly 7 months, the Congress agreed to allocate over $1 billion to help fight the spread of and the effects of the Zika virus, not affecting us here in Iowa yet, but certainly in Florida and some other southern climes, Senator Grassley. A deal part of a broader agreement to continue to fund the government after the fiscal end year ends on Friday. Why did this get tied up in such a partisan fight when it all sides agree it is a public health emergency?
It's pretty hard to explain when all 54 Republicans supported it. It's probably a question that's more appropriate for Democrat senators than it is a Republican senator to answer that, because I don't know really what the scheme was behind Democrats not voting for it. That's where you'd have to go for your answer.
But
we did finally get a bipartisan agreement to move ahead.
Yeah, because of the, I understand that the language was dropped barring funding from going to Planned Parenthood clinics, right?
Well, then that was a House of Representative position, and you would have to, there were several things that were put in to the House of Representatives on that issue. The Senate agreed to take those out. The real issue is getting at the Zika issue, and this finally did it, thank God.
Let's go to John in Rhodes. John, welcome to our program. Running short of time, but we're glad to have you on the program with Senator Charles Grassley.
Yeah, John, glad to have you here. I'd like to hear your question.
I wondered about term limits. It seems to me you said you have supported them in the past, and now they didn't affect you, or why they didn't.
Well, if they'd gone into effect, they would have affected me. I voted. We've had the vote once in the years I've been in the Congress, and maybe that once is the only time it's ever been voted on in the entire 230 years of Congress, and I voted for it.
Mm-hmm. Can you say when?
Okay,
you
didn't affect yourself, huh? As part of your...
Well, it would affect me if it got to be part of the Constitution. It'd affect everybody.
Yeah, but...
mm-hmm. The larger question, Senator Grassley, when do you plan to retire? You're obviously in it for another 6 years. Should you win re-election, when would be the time for you to call it quits in the Senate?
I think you ought to ask me after this election, because I got to be in the Senate for another term before that question would even be applicable.
Mm-hmm. Let's field another listener question. This is from Amanda, who would like to hear about your bipartisan efforts. She writes, I've been hearing mostly about your controversial positions. I'm not happy with a lot of decisions regarding those, especially blocking the Garland hearings. The senator has been an asset to the state in the past, but I feel like I need more reassurance that he's working for the state of Iowa first and the Republican Party second, instead of the other way around, in order to vote for him again. That's from Amanda.
Yeah. Why would she think that for all the years I've been in the United States Senate, I hold town meetings to be in touch with the people of Iowa, not only through mail, not only through telephones, but actually face-to-face meetings. So I think the best thing to say to her would be that the 30 bills that have come through the Judiciary Committee since I've been chairman have been all bipartisan bills. Not a single partisan bill has come out of that committee. The tax relief that I worked out with Democrat Senator Baucus when I was chairman of the Finance Committee would be another perfect example of that. The False Claims Act that I worked out with Democratic Congressman Berman a generation ago has brought $48 billion back into the federal treasury. Senior citizens have a prescription drug program because I was chairman of the chairman of the Finance Committee when we established Part D of Medicare. And then I'll give one more example. Senator Kennedy's dead now, but he and I worked for 6 years to get the Family Opportunity Act passed. Okay. So nothing gets done in the United States Senate if it isn't somewhat bipartisan because of the 60-vote requirement.
We have 1 minute left. I'd like to make sure we get a question on our flooding here in 2016 for you. Money for flood protection in Cedar Rapids, Senator, has been approved but not allocated. What can you do to ensure money for flood protection gets approved?
Yeah. Thank God it's not a big lift for this reason, that when we have disaster relief, there's money put in at the beginning of the fiscal year. You never know what you're going to need for the next 12 months. But if it runs out during that 12-month period of time, it's generally replenished without any controversy whatsoever.
Okay, so you see that working through Congress easily?
I can't say it any more plainly than I have, and it's been that way all the years I've been in the Congress of the United States.
Okay, thank you very much, U.S. Senator Charles Grassley, joining us live. We appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us on River to River.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Coming up in just a moment, I'll talk with a South Korean, very interesting woman, Suki Kim. In 2011, she posed as a missionary and taught English to the sons of North Korea's ruling class. Her book, Without You, There Is No Us, is an account of the time she spent teaching in North Korea. She's coming to Iowa to speak, and we'll speak with her in just a few minutes. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.